Tim have a quiz here, huh?
Since
8 o'clock. Coupe Vase. Latina Bukuzri. We find in the Kuzri, the Indian Tefillah and the concept of Tefillah Vizad Hashayna. These are his words. The Kuzri points out that we barely ever mention the world to come in prayer. It's barely ever mentioned, the fact that there is such a thing as the world to come. Why is that? This is because because the one who prays is to connect himself to the godly light in his lifetime. Meaning that during prayer, one is supposed to be able to connect to a godly light here in this world. To the point that one is to pray to be able to see the godly light with his own eyes. A person is to pray for the level of prophecy. Wow. And there is no closeness to Hashem greater than this. If that's the case, then we are praying without any doubt for something that is greater than Olam Haba. Why pray for the world to come when we are supposed to be praying to reach levels in this world that are greater than Olam Haba? Now the Nesiv Shalom is bringing this down because he had just in the previous paragraph that we learned last week, he had brought down the fact that he had brought down the Shulchan Aruch that Chassidim and Anshei Maaseh used to while before davening for an hour or so to meditate to the point that when they would daven, they would reach a level of ispashtus agashmias, of totally stripping themselves of any physicality, to the point that they wouldn't even feel anything. You know, if someone would pinch them, they would be totally removed from anything in this world. Their davening would be on a level as it says in Shulchan Aruch, close to prophecy. On this, he brings the Kuzri that not only is that the person's should be the. Even if that isn't the person's level during davening, that is something that a person is supposed to strive for. That's something a person is supposed to daven for, to be able to reach that level of tefillah, to be able to experience the godly light in his lifetime, which is greater than Olam Haba. So that's why he says the Kuzari, that the Olam Haba is not mentioned in tefillah at all.
It's barely mentioned.
Right. And if a person reaches this level, then obviously he'll reach Olam Haba as well. Why? Because someone who's able to connect. Someone who is able to connect his soul. Someone who is able to connect his soul in a godly way, even though it is consumed with the happenings of the body, and Kavana and its pains, meaning if a person is able to connect to the godly light, even though the person is enveloped in a body, then obviously when his neshama is no longer in his body and he's no longer distracted by his physical needs, and obviously he'll be able to connect to Olam Haba. Ad kan l'shana. Those were the words of the Kuzari. And this is understood according to what has been explained. That the main concept of tefillah is connecting to Hashem. So that is what the person's tefillah should be about, is asking Hashem to assist us, in making that connection. Umashmos miyuchedes al pizeh v'deshoyne shel Rambam v'perik al v'mepirkei ha'atzlocha. V'zeh l'shoynoi. Now we can have a new understanding in the words of the Rambam in the first perik of the Pirkei ha'atzlocha. These are the words of the Rambam. Hamispalel yepoyne al Hashem yitzborach. Someone who davens should be directed to Hashem. Oymed al ragdov, he should be standing on his feet. Mis anig beliboy wisvasov, he should be, pleasured in his heart and in his lips. Not sure what that means. Yodav prusois, his arms should be outstretched. Uchle dibura yahoygim medavrim, and his speech utensils should be speaking. The yesar chalakov and all the rest of the parts of his body, charedim and erodim, should be trembling. V'lo yosir mehanim koilis arevim, and he should not turn away from expressing sweet sounds. Mizdavik, connecting, mechanatzmoy, preparing himself, mischanin, beseeching, kireo mishtachva, bowing and prostrating, boicha, crying, lefishu, lefnei melech golovanoide, because he stands in front of a great and awesome king. Mitagia elov hashkia vahafalotzois. So these are terms of trembling, should come to him. To the point that he should find himself in the world of the intellect. His respectable soul should be subjugated, and he should be totally removed from any feeling. Ad kan l'shana. This is the Rambam just explained what the level a person comes to through meditating. I mean, the person is totally removed from this world. Ad kan l'shana.
When he says that people did this, when is he talking about it? Is he talking about in his...
Rama was not saying that people did this. Rama was saying that is what is supposed to be done. So I guess he's demanding of people in his generation.
So people did this, or...
Yes.
Very capable. He says people did it in the last generation.
Yeah.
He has two books on it.
Are you capable?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right, I've never seen anybody meditate, but this is what I was imagining it looks like.
So we wonder why this isn't a Jewish, normal, ordinary, why we don't do it, why it isn't a normal Jewish practice.
Right.
Because they do it?
What?
They do it?
No, that's what I'm saying. We should do it.
You don't hear it too often.
If he doesn't say it later, I mean, there's The reason why it's not done is because tefillah b'tzibur contradicts this. It's just not possible. I don't think it's possible to be in a group within a group of people in shul and to be able to do this.
So when did the people do this?
I would imagine that the Rambam is talking about an experience that is outside of the three times a day of davening, which means taking the
wrestler.
Time to
wrestler.
I didn't want to say it.
I didn't want to.
All right, well, that's the question. I mean, the wrestlers do it, so the question is, they're doing it. He's saying we're supposed to do it, so the question is, why don't we do it?
Because people have to work too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
There's not some good reason sitting out there.
Well, because there are some lines that can cross without people knowing it. You've got to be very careful, especially with the name of Hashem.
Yeah, and he's predominant Hashem here.
Yeah, I know that, but in the quote meditations, if the wrong letters are used in a certain combination, it's dangerous.
Is that it? Is this a kanon?
There are chassidish as far as that. The Mavi Shomesh, the Ramayim Chaim, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that criticize the avoid of his boydidus. They criticize the avoid of going out there by yourself and.
There are
Chassidish who want to criticize it, based on the concept that that it can cause atzvus, it can cause depression.
Which is like the complete opposite of anything Rabbi Nachman ever said.
Going out in the dark and being all by yourself.
If it is done the wrong way, it certainly can.
There are some that criticize it. But here you have a Rambam that says that it's supposed to be done. Again, a person has to know himself. A person has to know what the consequence is. Now, does it bring him closer? Does it push him away?
Does it say anything about which forest to go?
Kuloi tzir nivla al inyan tefila shekulo dvegez ilois. No, this is all a spectacular picture on the concept of tefila, that it is all. That what tefillah is all about is a lofty connection. Yalpi darkoi, and according in this sense, kishodesh al tefillah hu advekus v'Hashem, that the root of tefillah is connecting to Hashem. Yizbor inyan v'koshos rachmim haKadosh Baruch Hu. We can explain the concept of asking Hashem for his compassion. The lechore, halei rachman v'yizborach heim abli gvul v'soif. Because lechore, Hashem's compassion is infinite. V'oyev es kol echad miYisrael, and Hashem loves each yid. U'beni b'chori yikaranu, when Hashem called us his firstborn son. Yeah, meaning that unconditional love. So how is it shaykh to say that we're going to awaken the compassion of a father on his firstborn son? The compassion is automatically there. Why is it, we know that tefillah is to awaken compassion. I need to awaken the compassion. The compassion should be there already. But the explanation of this is according to what the Yisoid HaAvodah brings in the name of the Mori Nevuchim, which is also the Rambam. Shekol ha-mikrim ha-royim v'izgavrus ha-dinim ala adam. That any bad happenings, and the when you see that judgment is overcoming a person. Himrak be'eis yafsik ha-dveikus b'Hashem. Says the Rambam, that is only at a time when a person's connection to Hashem has been severed. Aval b'shashu dovuk b'Hashem, but when a person is connected to Hashem, ein shum mikru pegara yochel lishleit olav, no happening or anything bad can reign over a person.
That seems very difficult to
right.
understand.
Let's see what he says.
Okay.
And this is the concept of tefillah, that by pouring one's heart out to Hashem, a person will come to connecting to Hashem, and then all judgment is sweet. The words of the Rambam were that no bad happening can come to a person if he's connected to Hashem. Any bad happenings that happen to a person is only while a person is disconnected. This is what the Rambam said. So, says the Nesiv HaSholem, so according to that, the purpose of, when we say that tefillah is to awaken Hashem's compassion, what that means is connecting to Hashem automatically causes that no bad things can happen. That's what the Nesiv HaSholem, I hope I'll explain more, because it's a very difficult concept. Well, that is a picture of Hussein HaMakdash and Mama Chazal, and this can be understood according to what our Rebbeim have explained. In the words of Chazal, Chazal say that even if a sharp sword is lying on a person's throat, he should not despair of Hashem's compassion. Compassion means connecting to Hashem, meaning by connecting to Hashem, a person can be saved even from a sharp sword that is lying on his throat. As the Tzaddik Rebbe Leib related, I don't know, there was a chassid that lived in Slonim. He was in great trouble. And he went to Shul to daven for Hashem's salvation. The Shama and this Yehuda Leib heard this chassid, he was saying with tremendous dveikus, with tremendous connection, he was saying the psukim tehillim, tzamalacha nafshi, my heart thirsts for you, my soul thirsts for you, Kamalacha b'sori, my flesh goes out to you. Gamra. Ad kishachach ligamri min atzora, until the point that this person forgot of the trouble, shemachmosa higia v'amtsayim basic nesses, that because of this trouble is what brought him to Shul in the first place. This chassid was so removed, so connected, that he totally forgot about this trouble that brought him to Shul altogether. And meanwhile, a miracle happened, and he was saved from his trouble. Because by connecting to Hashem, all the judgment that is on a person is sweetened. And the whole concept of awakening compassion at a time of trouble, what it means is to connect to Hashem. Through this, all judgment will be sweet. Now, what's bothering me, and maybe some of you, is that we find what seem to be bad things happening to people that seem to be connected to Hashem.
What about the bad thing? If that happens something bad to you, doesn't mean that you're really disconnected from Hashem.
So nothing's really bad, though.
Right.
Nothing's really bad.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. What he's saying here is, he's not just talking about the person who observes Torah and Mitzvahs. When he means connected to Hashem, he means a level of connection of a strong connection. Now, I don't know if he's talking about the Rambam's level where he's like a level of prophecy, but at least we're talking about a conscious connection, not a subconscious connection. Nevertheless, you know, there were people that screamed out Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and had their skin torn off of them, right? So I think when Perez
he waited all his life to do that mitzvah. That was the only mitzvah he couldn't do.
Right.
Be able to give up his life. So it's bad. I don't know.
So what Perez is saying is that when a person connects himself to Hashem, he realizes that it's not a trouble. As long as he's disconnected, you know, this is terrible. This is terrible. But once the person is connected, he realizes that what he thought was so terrible is might be Hashem's rachmanis. We said yesterday the fact that he's a father with unconditional love doesn't mean that we don't get a patch every once in a while. That's the father does to keep the son on the right path.
Sometimes it's not even a potch. The kid doesn't want to go to bed. Your little kid doesn't want to go to bed. It's not a potch you're making him go to bed.
Right.
Although, to him, it's a potch. I want to stay up and do whatever.
It's direction.
I want to run into this entire traffic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not letting me do that. Yeah. Now, according to this general introduction to the concept of tefillah, meaning that all tefillah is about is connecting, we can understand very well the different concepts that the Rambam lists in the essence of tefillah, k'deshaynai mitzvah zu kachi, as his words are in the mitzvah of tefillah, his words are the following. Reishis calls up first. He writes, she'adam espalam aschana mechol yom, that a person should daven, should pray and beseech Hashem every day. Ina kavana l'kasha tzirachav. The intent of the Rambam is not that a person should beseech Hashem to fill his needs. Because that the Rambam mentions later on. The mitzvah itself is lishpoich libo lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, is to pour out his heart before Hashem with his chanalai, and to beseech Hashem. Even though there is nothing pressing on his heart at that point. The mitzvah of tefillah is not only when something's bothering you, just the fact that we are beseeching Hashem. What that means is it's a outcry to Hashem. Rabbeinu Shleilam, I want to connect to you. That's what it is. It's just I it's beseeching Hashem to allow us to connect to Him. That's all it is. Dveikus ishtabchus hanefesh malev molei ahave. It's a pouring out of the soul, out of a heart full of love, lelev oyev, to the heart of his beloved. Okay, I'm going to stop right here.